First night, I told you I'm all in favor of change, and one of those is change of position. Some of you have been sitting for a while, so let me give you 15 seconds and share with somebody something that you call a blessing. You want to do that? You know, I have been blessed by, I got this, I saw that, God did this. You could just call it a blessing. Tell somebody about it in 15 seconds. Five, four, three, two, one. Thank you. Now, you guys, you're obviously really blessed. So that's good. I know as soon as I said that, everybody my age, you know, the high school kids headed that way. But a changeless message in a changing world. Our first night together, we looked at a changing God whose desire is to bless people no matter how bad they've been, no matter how ornery they've been, no matter how the evil empire over there existed. God wants to bless those people. No matter how backward we look at Africa many times, God wants to bless those people. God wants to bless people here. And that's a changeless God. That does not change. Last night we looked at a changeless mandate. What God said in the person of Christ as he walked on this earth, he still says. And that's that I want disciples to be made. I want them to be made among every people group, every tribe, every nation. People that will be non-negotiating following followers of Jesus Christ. But how does that happen? I want us to kind of cross the bridge between the two tonight, a changeless principle applied in changing ways in a changing world. God blesses in incredible ways. We shared with you that one of the ministries God has given to HCJB Global is planting Christian radio stations. We just got one in Tanzania this past year. It's not ours, doesn't have our name on it. We work with local people who carry out that ministry. Exciting, exciting ways. But we got a real impetus for that in Cape Town, South Africa. Back in the mid-90s, pastor at a church down there, Baptist Church, was having a revival campaign, and they thought it would be wonderful if they could share it with the community. And one thing that we've had to learn, that radio is not the same in other places in the world the way it is here in the United States. Everybody does something different. They operate it differently. You might have a license that's good for 2 hours a day. You might have a license that's good for daylight hours. You might have a license that's good for 3 days a week, and you share it with somebody who has it the other 4 days. They work in all kinds of ways. But John said it would be great if we could get a license for 2 hours a day for 1 week to broadcast this evangelistic crusade that they were going to have in Cape Town. And like any good Baptist pastor, he neglected to tell the church leadership. He just applied for the license. And he got it. But the license was for 24 hours a day for 30 days. And John said, how in the world am I going to share this with my congregation? A, I have to confess my sin that I didn't check with them in the first place. And B, what are we going to do for 24 hours a day? So he called the church board together and he said, this is what I've done. And this is what I'm going to do. They said, well, we're in it now. Let's keep going. So on Sunday morning, John walks into the pulpit in the King of Kings Baptist Church, Fishhook, Cape Town, South Africa. and he says, folks, God has given us a wonderful blessing. We have a radio station for 1 month, 24 hours a day. Let me tell you how we're going to do it. You folks right down here, you're in charge of the morning drive time. Now, you folks back here, I want you to do a youth program. You folks back there are in charge of the news. Now, you folks in this area here, you've got the sports. You guys have the evening drive time. Now, we need a women's program out of this group. And we definitely need something for children, so you'll do that. And he walked the entire auditorium, and he said, oh, by the way, we start next week. And John sat at our table in Quito, and he said, for the next 30 days, I didn't have one counseling appointment. We didn't have one complaining call from anybody in the church. And God gave us a wonderful month. Because everybody was deeply involved in ministry. Now, since that time, they have gotten a full 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week radio station. They didn't have any idea where they were going to do it. They sent John to the United States to find out, how can we do this? How can we do radio? He came and he had appointments lined up with people that could help him. All those appointments were canceled. He was in Miami, Florida, and somebody said, you know, there's a church up here in Hollywood. There is a Hollywood in Florida. They're having a missions conference. Why don't you go see how the Americans do a missions conference? So he said, okay, and he went to the church, and they said, well, most of the folks that are visiting this week are staying in such and such a hotel. So he went and booked himself into the hotel. Meeting is at 7 o'clock at night. 6:30, he gets on the elevator to go, and there's this other guy in the elevator. And he says, my name's John Thomas. I'm from South Africa. And this other guy says, my name's David Keeley. I'm from Colorado Springs, Colorado. What brings you to America? And John says, we're trying to find out how to do radio. We don't have any idea how to do radio, and God's given us a license, and we got 30 days to get on the air. And David says, I work with HCJB Global, and that's what we do. And in that elevator, God opened the door for what is now the most popular radio station in South Africa. They see an average of one person come to Christ on every program, 24 hours a day, and they're fearless in what they do. God's blessing, and they're using it for His glory. So my question tonight, and I told you I'm going to meddle. These guys challenged, I'm going to meddle. What are you doing with your blessings? And Steve, I was sure this morning when you got going with the men you were going to steal my thunder for tonight, but you stopped just short, so it's okay. You can continue to stay with the mission. Yeah. You don't ever mess with the chairman of the board. If you'll take your Bibles and open with me to page 476. And in my small print that I cannot see, that's the 67th Psalm. Great psalm. It actually begins from Numbers chapter 6 in what's called the Aaronic blessing. It's the petition that Aaron set forth when he said, God, be gracious to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Anybody ever pray for God's blessing? We pray for that all the time, don't we? We kind of tongue-in-cheek sometimes say, God bless the missionaries. Some people say, no, we need to be more specific than that. What could be more exciting than God blessing the missionary? The difficulty is we don't know what that means. You know, bless him with support, bless him with health, bless him with whatever, children who obey. But he starts out with this concept of blessing, and it becomes important as Aaron dealt with when he first started sharing this, to understand who the blessor was. And of course, here, the call is God bless us. We know James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God the Father blesses us. But what's a blessing? You know what a blessing is? How many of you had no trouble a minute ago sharing a blessing? Just none. It just rolled right off. That's a relatively small percentage of us. Some of the rest of us struggle. You know, I'm often given the privilege of speaking like here, and we'll meet with the folks before the service, and somebody will say, God, bless our brother tonight as he speaks. And I've learned that means keep him on time. And make sure he's short. But a blessing, if you open the dictionary, it's a thing that is conducive to one's happiness or welfare. So a blessing is a good thing. If you look in the Old Testament, it really is the concept of happiness. Somebody says it's the content or result of divine favor. In other words, when God does something, that's a blessing. The New Testament calls it a benefit or a favor conferred on a man which results in his happiness. Now, that's very American, isn't it? Give me something I like. That's a blessing. So the prayer is, God, bless us. But God does nothing indiscriminately. He doesn't just say, here, let me give you this. Enjoy. Here, need a blessing? Go your way. God does not do anything without purpose. That's why he can say, all things work together for good to those that love God. Because nothing is going out there that doesn't have some kind of divine intention with it. So he says, God be gracious to us and bless us, cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. The cry for blessing wasn't so the preacher would be short, wasn't so that he would be entertaining. It was so that people would know who God was. And that's the whole concept behind God. The purpose of blessing is to make his way known on the earth and to make his salvation known among the nations. That's why God blesses people. So whatever it was you said a few moments ago, the reason that is a blessing for you, according to the psalmist, is so that God's way would be known on the earth. How does that happen? I got blessed. How's the world going to know that God is? You see, God's blessings come on people so they can know his ways, his character, specifically his salvation. And notice how he moves on. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you will judge the peoples with uprightness and guide the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And we read those verses and we say, boy, that's the psalmist. He cries out, let's praise God. But he said, wait, time out. Why are we praising God? What are we using as the basis for our praise for God? And he said, God blesses you for purpose. The purpose is so that a world can know his ways, his person, his character. So when I am blessed, I praise God so that the world will know where that blessing came from. Now, that sounds like kind of an introduction to Missions 101, doesn't it? Because we want the world to know the ways of God. We want the world to know who God is, what his character is. So God says, he blesses us and we sing his praises. But it doesn't stop there. It says in verse 6, the earth has yielded its produce. God, our God, blesses us. Just to make sure you're still with me, what's a blessing according to verse 6? Folks, I haven't warned you, but you get quiet, I get nervous. When I get nervous, I get long-winded. So verse 6 says what? What's a blessing according to verse 6? The land yielding its harvest. What do we call that stuff? Food, fruit, good stuff. When's the last time you sat down and we thank God? That's automatic, right? We sit down, everybody holds hands or something. But you realize this is a blessing from God. Now, we put it in our context. We say, well, it's a blessing, but I got it down the store. Go back into the Jewish culture. Do you remember when the Jews started to stop serving God, failed God? What's the first thing God did many times through the Old Testament when his people wandered away from him? He started turning off the water, didn't he? And what happened when God turned off the water? No fruit. So God has turned off the water. There is no food. So what happened in that culture? Number one, they didn't eat. Number two, they didn't have anything for barter. Therefore, they were broke. Number three, when they went to worship, what did they take? First fruits, fruit of the land, the wine, the grain, all of those things. So when they quit taking those, what happened to the priests? In fact, we read several times in the Old Testament, they had to go back to the land themselves because the people weren't worshiping, weren't bringing their gifts, weren't recognizing these blessings from God. God had turned off the water, wasn't giving them these blessings, and all of those things disappeared. So when the Jew sees the earth has yielded its produce, God, our God, blesses us, that is an incredible statement to a Jew. Just like it's an incredible statement to anybody in agrarian society. And then the next verse says, God blesses us that all the ends of the earth may fear him. You see, as the psalmist puts these down, what he's saying is, whatever it is that God brings to you, something as elementary as food, as basic as money, as important as worship, as critical as spiritual leadership, it's all a blessing from God. And the reason he gives it is to make me really happy. Tilt. So the ends of the earth may fear him. Now, tonight could be a message about money and we ought to give more to missions. But really, when we take a look at the psalmist, it's a message about a heart. And the realization that whatever it is that I have, and let's make it the easy part, whatever it is I call a blessing, God says the reason you have that is so that a world can learn to fear me. So you see, God's principle, I bless for the purpose of a world knowing, gets applied in a lot of changing ways because most of us are not able to be here tonight because our produce grew this year. Most of us get our income from something else. So does that make it any less a blessing? So what am I doing with whatever it is that God produced in me, for me, with me, through me, around me, to see that the world knows who he is, to see that the world fears him? That's one of the critical importances, that's a good sentence, isn't it, of worshiping, of lifting my voice to God and singing the psalms, amen, singing the hymns, wonderful, but just saying, let me tell you what God has done. The Wilsons, the Buttons, outraising support, what do they always tell you? We got 46%. What's always implied? We're missing 54%. I watch missionaries do that all the time. 54 more percent and we can be gone. One of the great things is there's 44%. Praise hallelujah. God is doing great things. As a mission, we take a look. What has God given to us? Back in the 70s, our president said, you know, running a shortwave radio station is incredibly expensive. He said, we need to do something to generate our own power. Checked with a guy in Seattle. I don't know how they made the initial contact, but there was a power station on Lake Union in Seattle had been decommissioned in 1923. And they said, it's just sitting down there. And when one of our guys went and talked to him, they said, if you'll take it out of here, you can have it. Put it on a ship, shipped it to Ecuador, took it up into the mountains, put it in line, refurbished it, reconditioned it, and it started generating electricity. Our power bill back then was $1 million a year. And now all of a sudden we were generating almost all of our own power. Somebody said, you know, that was really good. Let's do it again. This time we had to buy a new generator, put it in, and now we're generating more power than we need. What's that called? Blessing. So what do you do with extra power in a third world country? You sell it.
Oh, missions only survive on the free will giving of God's people.
No, the principle, what do we do with our blessings, never changes. The way in which we do it in the context of the world, and the government of Ecuador said, thank you. We'll buy everything you can make for us. So somebody said, let's build another one. So we used the same water three times. One lady came to visit and said, you guys are stealing all of this water from the Indians. And so our guy took her out back and showed her, no, all that water goes right through these generators and right out the other side. The Indians get every bit of the water that went in on the front side. Yeah, but you're taking all the electricity out of it. If you look around, somebody's not laughing, you might want to talk to them afterward. God's given us 76 years of international radio broadcasting. What's our responsibility? To keep on broadcasting? Sure, but to use those blessings for the glory of God. As people move out of the countryside and into the cities, they begin to turn off their shortwave radio. So people are saying, hey, help us do local radio. Help us touch our own people. So we've gone from the 13 languages we had in shortwave in Ecuador to over 120 languages in local stations around the world. Some of them in six and seven languages. One of the stations in Burkina Faso had a 100-kilowatt transmitter. And a 100-kilowatt transmitter, given the normal conditions of an FM station, will go about 40 kilometers in radius, about 80 kilometers diameter. People were turning on the radio, walking toward the tower till they got the signal, sitting down on the ground and listening. So they asked us for twice the size. It now goes 75 kilometers. They're in six languages, just committed to reaching their people. And none of those languages had ever been reached by radio before in very remote areas. God's given us 50-plus years of medical ministry. What's our responsibility? Keep the hospital doors open. How about if we can take that and put it somewhere else and teach other people how to reach their people using medical care, health care? That's why the doors are opening again in Africa. It's very interesting. We did a survey of Africa assuming, come over and help us with AIDS. And everybody said, no, 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 don't come to do AIDS. And we said, why not? And they said, everybody's coming to do AIDS. We got people dying of tuberculosis and malaria and all this other stuff, and nobody's even talking about those. You see, whatever the blessing is, maybe it's your capacity to speak another language. Maybe it's your capacity to fly an airplane. Maybe it's the opportunity to know how to teach. Whatever it is that God has blessed you with, he said, the reason I did it is so the ends of the world will learn to fear him. So the question that he asked Moses a long time ago in Exodus chapter 4, remember what he said to him? What's that in your hand? And what was it? Okay, the theological word was a staff. The practical word is a stick. I grew up in the desert. I know what those things look like. I've even seen bushes on fire in the desert from lightning. He said, Moses, what do you have? He said, it's a blessing from me. Is it cash? It's a blessing from me. Is it an ability? It's a blessing from me. If it's the opportunity to have been educated in some given way, it's a blessing from me. If it's understanding of how to do things, it's a blessing from me. And God said, the reason I gave it to you, my people, is so a world can learn to fear me. What are we doing with what's in our hands? Why is it that we're talking nearly 3 years as the average deputation time for a missionary to discover their support in the United States? Why is it that so many young people are coming and saying, I can't spend 3 years on deputation. God's called me to do something. I'm prepared. I want to go. I'm going to really meddle for a minute. Why is it that the number one reason in the United States given by young people for not going into missions is their parents and their grandparents have said, don't you dare go and take my kids and grandkids away from here? What are your blessings? Are you praising God for them? Does your neighborhood, does your church community, do your friends know about your blessings? And do they know where they came from? And is the world a different place because God blessed you? Like we sang earlier, it doesn't have to be across the sea. It has to be the realization that whatever it is that God has placed in my hand, He's done it for purpose. And my task is to bless His name and then bless people with it, so they will know that God is really God. So whether I'm an individual believer, whether I'm a local church fellowship, or whether I'm a mission, and we'll bring Bible school into that because it's certainly part of it, our task is to see that the world knows who Jesus is. And it starts with praising Him for our blessings and using them for His glory. How are we doing? Heavenly Father, thank You tonight for the incredible privilege that is ours of receiving from Your hand. Lord, as we read through Scripture, we realize that not all blessings are fun, but all are profitable. We realize that we don't always see things that You bring into our lives and give to us as blessings. But I pray that You would help us to stop long enough to see what it is that You've given to us, that You've blessed us with, and to keep speaking long enough to praise You for it, and to make it available enough that a world learns to fear You. Because through those blessings, the world knows Your way and Your salvation. Lord, may we as Your people who sit in this building tonight take a fresh look at our blessings and make a fresh commitment to make them available to You. And we'll very humbly say thank You for that great privilege. We do it in Jesus' name.